specialist, journalist, specialist, predatory and survivalist, spitting heaven's fire from his lips, burn the same driver.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, New Media for the New Millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, but we as a people can turn this around." Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting an understanding." Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the homepage, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Catch the live stream there also. You can go to our ourradionetwork.com. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com. They broadcast out of the Black Belt and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your devices. TuneIn is a free app. And then that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon and you can stream the program live, even into your car if you had the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In the Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily by myself or Brother Richard. And do me a favor, before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook, and Time for an Awakening media is there. Always full of the latest podcasts of the various programs on Time for an Awakening. Interesting articles that you can read, download at later times, and share with your friends. Also, check out that Time for an Awakening Marketplace and our partnership with the BB Toomey. Always interesting things in the marketplace all the time. Various African language classes, classes on education, economics, social systems, health, and much, much more being taught by professors on both the continent and in the diaspora. So, again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. It's 7:08 in the city of Philadelphia on this cold Sunday evening, and we're in the Sunday night edition of Time for an Awakening. Tonight, special guest is joining us, Nation of Islam Minister of Health and Director of the Abundant Life Clinic in Washington, D.C., Dr. Aleem Muhammad. Will be joining us in conversation talking about COVID-19, the vaccine, and Black America. So kind of line up your thing, your questions that you want to ask. I know it'll be a lot of information tonight being given to us by the doctor, and we'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tang-a. All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot, Sundays 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back. The time for an awakening is 7:13 here in the city of Philadelphia. And before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Ellie.
How are you, sir?
I'm all right. I'm, you know, like you said, it's chilly outside, so that means I'm inside, Rona or not. So other than that, everything's good, and I'm looking forward to our exchange and conversation with Dr. Aline.
Yeah, I seen had some things on the television tonight about, or not last night, about some things going on at the museum.
Oh, yeah, around the Kwanzaa program.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because some of the docents, which are the guides for the museum, we did our program, you know, amongst ourselves, you know, just getting, yesterday was really nice. And also got a chance to go out to Peace Park, you know, and be a part of their Umoja, you know, Kwanzaa celebration. and that was good. A lot of developments are going on. It was with the AI, Afrocentricity International, today doing Zoom and for another day of Kwanzaa. I hope that we are looking at these principles of Kwanzaa from the perspective of the continuation of our nation building project, our civilization formation, even after disruption, compared to just just for a cultural event and being reintroduced, but being able to look at the institutions, make evaluations of the institutions and the systems that we have and whether they're adequate for the moment and the time we're in, especially when we're talking about viruses, as we'll be talking about tonight.
Yeah, well, listen, I agree, Richard. Today is the second day of Kwanzaa, which is Kujichakalia, self-determination. And that definition, to define ourselves, to name ourselves, to create for ourselves, and to speak for ourselves, that's one of the reasons tonight why we have Dr. Aleem Muhammad with us, to give us some insight on this virus, so we as a people can start directing our steps, know what to do. Instead of listening to Europeans guide us, we're not children anymore. We have people out there that have done the research, that has the expertise, and that can tell us what's going on and inform our folks to what we must and what we should and should not do. I want to welcome into the conversation tonight NOI Minister of Health and the Director of the Abundant Life Clinic in Washington, D.C., Dr. Aleem Muhammad, is with us in conversation. Dr. Muhammad, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalam. Glad to have you with us, sir.
The beneficent, the merciful. I'm very happy to be a guest on your show. I think this is actually the first time I've been a guest on your show.
Yes, sir, it is.
It's an honor.
But
and the second part of it that really knocks me out is I didn't realize I would be talking into Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, you know, that is one of the most dynamic communities and really most intellectual and productive communities among us. And so I'm very, very happy to be able to speak into the community in Philadelphia. And the third thing I want to say real quick, since it is Kwanzaa, let me give out a little bit of Kwanzaa trivia. Do you know that the great Ron Karanga graduated from William Penn High School in York, Pennsylvania? And he graduated one class ahead of my mother. In the next room, she's 96. Next month, she'll be 97. But she remembers, not Ron Karanga by that name, but she remembers him as an upperclassman from William Penn High School in York, Pennsylvania, where she was born and raised and where I was born and raised, just up the street from Philadelphia.
Ain't that something? I definitely didn't know. I didn't know that. That's powerful. And powerful that she is amongst us and be able to be, you know, that be able to share that history and information. That's great.
Yes. 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 So I'm very, very happy to be with you this evening. And, you know, I always like to start with some disclaimers because we might end up talking about medical topics, political topics, organizational topics, historical topics. And I just want to make it very clear that I'm giving my personal and sometimes professional opinions, but it should not be construed as personal medical advice. I do not give personal medical advice over the air. Now, for that, let me give, if you want to contact me later, if someone has that kind of an issue and you want to contact me later, then go to DrAleem.com. You spell the word doctor all the way out, DrAleem.com. That's my website, and there you can see a whole array of options, everything from the Paxlovid spray to teleconsultations with me. And Brother Elliot, in your introduction, you were correct. I am the director of the Abundant Life Clinic, but now it's gone virtual.
Okay.
The brick and mortar office is closed, but the website that I gave out is the virtual office. It's draalim.com. So thank you very much for allowing me to make that announcement.
Yeah, well, listen, Dr. Muhammad, this is your first time on here, but it won't be the last. Especially
you.
In the situation we find ourselves in. Dr. Yeah. Muhammad, before we kind of talk about a lot of things centered around this vaccine and what's going on presently, let's backtrack a little bit because I think our people need the proper information to be able to arm ourselves to move our people forward, and we need to protect ourselves from the propaganda out here. And we, as a people, sometimes rely on European sources for our information and advice on what we need to do. So that's one of the reasons why you're on with us this evening. Before we get into the issue of the vaccine, let's talk a little bit about this virus.
Okay, yes. Yes.
And just give us a little historical background on it, because let me just say this. Because we see now, I guess over the past maybe week and a half, that all of a sudden mutations have popped up in the UK and has spread to other places, and we would be foolish to think it's not here already. So please give us a little background on this virus and exactly what's going on.
Well, I think I ought to give you a lot of background.
Good. Good.
What's going on. Because, you know, the first casualty of war, I don't know who said it, but somebody said the first casualty of war is the truth. And the first thing that the listeners need to understand is that this is a war. If I had to put a title on my remarks, the title would be Acts of War and Retaliation. So if you don't understand that there is an active war taking place, and we as a people just happen to be caught in the crossfire. You see, that kind of gives a better perspective on what is taking place and why there's so much confusion and why most of what you hear is just sheer propaganda for war purposes. So now, what is the war all about and who is involved? Well, it's actually a war for the control of the world. They call it the Great Reset. And essentially, it's a competition between China and her allies, who are the rising powers, including India, Brazil. These are all the countries that were named by Kissinger 20 or 30 years ago as the superpowers of the 21st century. Well, here we are in the 21st century, and China and Brazil, Nigeria, these are the rising superpowers. They formed a power block that has now challenged Europe and America. So now, let's fast forward to what happened concerning this virus, so-called. We have to begin the story in April of 2019, when there was a, quote, accident at Fort Detrick Laboratories in Fort Detrick, Maryland. Fort Detrick, Maryland is where the Army's Biological Weapons Laboratory is. And they reported that there was an accident, and they said, there were four or five different strains of a weaponized coronavirus that were missing. And they said that that section of the lab was shut down. And then that story disappeared. Fast forward to October of 2019 in Baltimore, Maryland, Johns Hopkins University, and Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates convened an event called Event 201. And this was a computer simulation. It was a computer simulation, all scripted, people playing roles. This was actually on YouTube. I don't know if it's still up on YouTube, but the whole event was on YouTube. And you could see all of the media, the military, the public health officials, the politicians, the scripts were all written. They went through this scenario at Johns Hopkins. And what was the scenario all about? It was about a global pandemic caused by the release of a weaponized coronavirus. That was in October of 2019. In December of 2019, the U.S. military had a joint military operation in Wuhan City with the Chinese People's Liberation Army. That was Wuhan City is the model city for the rollout of 5G technology. Keep that in mind. 5G started in Wuhan City. Somebody pulled the switch in Wuhan City, and there was a release of a virus in Wuhan City just before the Chinese New Year. This was when hundreds of millions of Chinese people would be crisscrossing the country going home for the holidays. And so there was a release of a virus in Wuhan City from a lab, not a market, from a lab. The Wuhan Biotechnology Lab was started and funded, listen to this, by none other than Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci granted millions of dollars to establish a bioweapons lab in Wuhan City over a number of years. The lead doctor in this setup of a bioweapons lab in Wuhan City was none other than the chairman of biological chemistry at Harvard University, Dr. Charles Lieber, who has since been arrested. He, along with his two Chinese associates, they were arrested at Logan Airport with vials of unknown material taped to their bodies. This sounds like a James Bond movie, but this is real life. This is really what happened. Now, once that virus was released in China, the Chinese people and government immediately instituted drastic, draconian even, public health measures, and they were able to flatten the curve. But of course, they needed the help of the Cuban medical brigades who arrived under the leadership of Dr. Luis Martinez Herrera. And several hundred Cuban doctors and nurses and other medical personnel used alpha interferon in China. And that's why China only had a total of 80,000, maybe 100,000 infections total, even though their population is five times that of the United States. And they reported only 3,000 or 4,000 deaths. So that was the biological attack against China under the Trump administration. The Chinese military says the retaliation should be equal. And so since Wuhan City was a commercial city of about 10 million people, the retaliatory strike, the biological retaliatory strike was against a similar city in the United States. And of course, we're talking about New York City. And so the virus that struck New York City was different than the virus that was that China was attacked with. The mortality rate in China was 3.4%. The mortality rate in New York City was over 10%. And all throughout the United States, the mortality rate of infections remains in that area, around 10%. That's similar to what is taking place in Europe. They call it the Italian strain, but that strain is all over Europe. And now, as you mentioned, there's a mutant strain that has appeared in the United Kingdom. And I saw reports today that indicate it's already in France, it's already in Sweden, and according to Dr. Anthony Fauci, it's already in the United States. Now, the interesting thing about the COVID-19 virus that's in Europe and the United States is that it has a predilection for people who carry the genes of Neanderthal. So on the third human chromosome, there is an identifying gene that identifies one as having been a descendant from Neanderthal. And people who have that marker Neanderthal gene, these are the people who seem to do worse with the COVID pandemic. This may be a part of the genetic retaliation because the original SARS virus, going back to 2003, was discovered to be an ethnic weapon against people of Asian descent. And so this is my speculation. My speculation is that the retaliatory strike back at Europe and America is with a coronavirus, but it has a specificity for people who carry the Neanderthal gene. And so with people of color, our major problem seems to be nutritional. People talk about vitamin D, and they should, because it's crucial to immunity. But what about vitamin A and all the B vitamins and C? What about vitamin E and F and all of them? There's all the way up to vitamin P, as far as I know. What about all of the minerals? What about all of the amino acids? What about all of the essential fatty acids? You see, people need all of the nutritional factors. They don't just need zinc and selenium. So unfortunately, the last time I was in Philadelphia in the black community was a food desert, meaning that nobody was producing fresh food. People were living off of processed food, fast food, corner foods, and all that kind of stuff, junk food, GMO foods, and very little natural whole foods. And that's true all over the country, not just Philadelphia. And so that's why you see this health disparity, so-called, this health gap disparity. It's really a nutritional gap. Because we're malnourished, then it means that our nutritional foundation, which is the foundation of our immunity, is also weak. So it reminds me of a question that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked many years ago. He put it on the front page of the paper. He said, how strong is the foundation? Can we survive? Well, if the foundation of our life is nutrition, especially the foundation of immunity is nutrition. And recently they found out that the people who do worse with COVID-19 are people who are deficient in alpha interferon. So let me conclude my remarks by saying that as a response, the community's response, we talked about the problem. We talked about, you know, that this is warfare between superpowers and we're caught in the middle. But what has been the grassroots response coming from our community? Well, we put together something back in May called the Your Immunity Project that has now become a movement. And we meet every Tuesday on a conference call and we update people on what's going on with the pandemic. But most of all, we deal with solutions. And so back in the early 90s, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan sent me and Brother Wali Muhammad to Kenya to find out about Kemron. This was the first announced alpha interferon treatment for AIDS, and we didn't know if it worked or not. So that's why we went to investigate. We found out it worked very well, and so we brought that information back to the States. We did our own clinical trials, and you might remember, at the Million Man March, we announced the first cure for AIDS in America based on the use of low-dose alpha interferon. So on July the 4th of this year, 2020, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made a statement where he said that we should not take the vaccine, number one, and number two, we want the alpha interferon that the Cubans used to flatten the curve in China. And so now we're very pleased to announce that through the Your Immunity Project, we have the alpha interferon. It's called Paximmune, P-A-X-I-M-U-N-E. And that's available to anybody who wants it or needs it. And that website, draarlene.com, is where you would go. And we are doing our own, let me conclude on this note. Mm-hmm. We are doing our own clinical trial. We are doing our own clinical trial. We have over 25,000 people who are using Paximmune. And we have all kinds of testimonials. And we're developing the phone app, so we will have an electronic data collection system. So everybody that's using the Paximmune will be able to upload as much or as little information as they would like into our database. And we will be able to do a comparative analysis between what we call the Paxers versus the vaxxers. We're not trying to argue with somebody who wants to just take this dangerous vaccine. But we'll say, okay, if you want to take it, all right, then you enroll in the Your Immunity clinical trial as a vaxxer. And we want 500 vaxxers compared to 500 paxers for the paxing unit. And we'll follow them for 28 days, and then we'll do a comparative analysis. Then we can report to our community independently what the results are. If the vaccine is good and it works and it's no side effects, we'll report the truth. And we'll report the truth about the Paxlovid. And then we can allow the people to decide for themselves what they want to do. But we don't think we should be forced and coerced to blindly accept something that we know nothing about, especially from the people who have done such evil things to us and others down through the years.
Dr. Lean, let me go back a little bit because yes. I want you to kind of flush it out again for me. When you mentioned about this is war first, I guess about 10 months ago, and Brother Richard, you can help me with this, when we had Cynthia McKinney on, and she mentioned this virus was first released by the United States in Wuhan City. Everybody remembers when this president that's leaving office now was accusing China, as he said, of releasing this virus. But China said that the United States had released the virus. But then that type of conversation back and forth kind of died away. So what you're saying is this virus was released in China by the United States, and in turn, China released the virus in certain European areas. Go back and help me with that again.
Yes, let's realize that history repeats itself.
Okay.
So let's go back 30 years with the outbreak of HIV. Well, what was the political rhetoric at that time? The United States was accusing the Soviet Union of developing HIV, and the Soviet Union was accusing the United States of developing HIV. It was the same back and forth. So you have the same thing between the United States and China today. So now I think if you do, if there are people who know more about this than me, but if you do a genetic analysis of this virus, and let's just take a minute or two, and I'll go as deep as I can with it, but it's a really high-level science. If you actually piece this virus apart, the so-called COVID-19, the SARS-2 coronavirus, if you piece it apart, you find out that it is composed of four other viruses and a bacteria. In other words, the COVID-19 virus is actually what is called a chimera. A chimera is when you blend two animal species together to make a different species. That's a chimera. That's genetic engineering. So when you piece the corona-19 virus apart, what do you have? Well, at the core, you do have a coronavirus. And then fused with that, you have the genes of influenza. And then fused with that, you have the genes of HIV. And fused with that, you have somehow the genes of tuberculosis. And those four together are what we mean when we say COVID-19. It's a chimera. So therefore, when you do a genetic analysis of the version that's in Europe or the version that's in America or the version that's in Russia, you can see these genetic differences, which means that it was engineered differently. You don't get these dramatic changes through natural mutation. For example, I mentioned the mortality rate of the virus that was released in China was 3.4%. The virus that was released in Iran was twice as lethal. It had a mortality rate of 7%. The virus in Italy was 10%. The virus in the United Kingdom always was more lethal than the virus in the rest of Europe, which was about 10%, like the United States, about 10%. But in the United Kingdom, the mortality rate was always closer to 15%. And now they're reporting a mutant virus. Well, you don't have to say that it's a mutant virus. All you have to do is go back to the conference I mentioned, Event 201. Go look it up on the Internet, Event 201. And you'll see, as a part of his remarks, Bill Gates, who sponsored the conference paid for it and predicted that 65 million people would die from the release of a coronavirus. He said, wait till they see the second virus. He said the second virus will really catch their attention. I mean, that's a direct quote from Bill Gates and his wife, Melinda. So this mutant virus, you see, remember I said that at Fort Detrick, Maryland, in April of 2019, they reported either four or five weaponized coronaviruses as being missing. They went missing. So I would expect that there would maybe be, over time, the release of four or five different, distinct, weaponized coronaviruses. Because what is the ultimate object? Well, it's well advertised that the globalists among us, the elite 1%, they want to reduce the world's population by 90%. Well, what better way to do it than to start a global epidemic followed by an economic collapse and famine?
Yeah, Dr. Lim, one more question before I pass the mic to Brother Richard. I'm not a medical doctor at all, and I'm. If the question sounds ignorant, just help me.
No. Now, there's no ignorant question at all.
Well, please. Now, a virus to me is a germ or a biological germ.
Yes.
To me, that's a small life form that when it gets in your body, it attacks this your life form at the cellular level. Am I right?
That's nearly correct.
Okay.
It actually is not alive on its own.
Okay.
But the better way to say it is, rather than attack, it actually hijacks the cells in your body and takes them over.
Okay.
And starts your cells to, instead of making things that are useful for the cell starts making other viruses.
Okay. Now, it seems as this virus seems to attack people, just from my observation, in different ways. It seems to attack the brain in certain areas because some of the first things that they say that you lose is your sense of taste and smell. But then it attacks the lungs because people can't breathe, they have difficulty, they end up on ventilators, and some have passed. Tell me, explain to me how this virus not only enters your body, but attacks certain areas of your body.
Okay, that's a very good question. You see, what you're actually asking is what everybody should be asking. What is, and I'll use a medical term, and then I'll explain what it means. What is the pathophysiology of the COVID-19 virus? The pathophysiology. You see, it was misreported along with everything else. The pathophysiology is, what does it do to the body? Well, how does it injure or destroy or even end the life of the body? And you touched on a number of things. You see, what does it do? Generally, we think that it probably enters the body through the breath, through the air, but it could also enter the body through contaminated food or drink or through touching, and then touching your eyelids or touching the mucous membrane, any membrane in your body that's pink inside your mouth or any other organ or orifice in the body that's pink, that's a mucous membrane. And viruses can penetrate a mucous membrane better than they can through the skin. Now, once it's in the body, what does it do? Well, it travels through the bloodstream. And, of course, the bloodstream goes everywhere. So now there are receptors that the virus is looking for to hook onto. If you see the pictures that they show you of the virus, it has those spike proteins that come out. Those spike proteins are the proteins, it's called the S protein for spike. The S protein comes from HIV. So when you get that vaccine that has the S protein in it, and the mRNA vaccine with the spike protein, you're going to test positive from then on for HIV. So once the virus is inside the body, that spike protein is looking for something to latch onto. And some cells in the body have a receptor that's called an ACE2 receptor. People with high blood pressure know all about that because some of the medications they're taking inhibit ACE2 receptors, and other medications react on the ACE2 receptors. They're all throughout the body, but especially through the blood vessel system, the vascular system. And so wherever the virus can find an ACE2 receptor, it can latch on there and enter into that cell and infect that cell. And as I said before, then it hijacks the machinery inside that cell, and it forces that cell to start making more viral particles. And then once it makes millions of these viral particles, then that cell that it attacks bursts open and releases millions of viral particles into the bloodstream, and then the whole scenario repeats itself millions of times over. So now, where did the virus attach in the first place? Well, if the blood vessel was inside the brain, now you have an inflammation in the brain. If it was in the tonsils, now you have a sore throat. If it was in the lungs, now you have pneumonia. If it was in the kidneys, now you have a nephritis or a kidney infection. And in many cases, the autopsies, especially the ones coming out of China now, since they were the first country, they're doing their research is a little bit ahead. We're getting more autopsy results out of China than any place else. What we're seeing is that COVID-19 affects the entire body from head to toe through the vascular system, and it causes blood clots almost everywhere that it goes. And so it's a systemic illness. It is not just a lung problem. And so that's why it's a little bit premature for people to jump to the conclusion that we know enough about COVID-19 to be sure that somebody has fully recovered. And so that's why with the Your Immunity Project, we are investigating alternatives. And the best alternative that we have found is Paxlovid, the interferon, because it attacks the virus everywhere. And it doesn't matter, even if the virus mutates, it still works. And you can't say that for a vaccine. The vaccine, even if it works, and that's doubtful, but as soon as you get a mutation, then you need a new vaccine.
Okay. Brother Richard, jump on in.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, for, really kind of really laying everything out for us. And starting with, the war, recognizing, placing it in the context of war, whether we call it biological war or just war for, as Black people, war for our future generation survival. But I did want to make sure I got the spelling right. That's Pax, you mean? Is that C-A-X or is that P-A-X?
It's P-A-X. Excuse me. It's like the Latin Pax, mm-hmm. which means peace. Mm-hmm. Pax in Latin means peace. So Paxlovid gives you the peace of mind of doing something. Let me say what it is. Let me give you a little bit of information. When the Cubans went to China, they took different forms of interferon. Now, people who were in intensive care, really sick in the hospital, they got a type of interferon called interferon alpha 2B, mm-hmm. And that was injectable. And that's what people need who are in intensive care, critically ill people. And they basically saved thousands of lives in China with the alpha interferon 2B. But now the other type of interferon is not injectable, and that's what the Paxlovid is. It's oral. It's a spray. You spray it on your tonsils or on the nasal pharynx, to use a medical term. And there, the cells of your immune system pick up the interferon molecules, and it actually educates your immune system and tells your immune system how to handle this COVID-19 virus. And when they did research in China, there was almost 3,000 doctors and nurses in Wuhan City who were on the front lines who were using this interferon, the low-dose oral interferon. It was 100% effective, 100% effective in preventing the spread of COVID-19, even among frontline high-risk workers. And so when we say that the Pax Immune, you know, really prevents the spread of COVID-19, that's really backed up by a lot of science.
You know, I as I was thinking about, you know, just the questions and wanting to be able to be clear myself where we are and how we should be looking at it as a people in this moment. Three areas came to my mind, and I wanted to, you know, see if I can quickly go through them. And that was the public health aspect, you know, which came up around the vaccine and the virus, you know, as far as soon as it came out, this question about public health. Black people, and you touched on it as far as our diet, our diet and food desert and things like that. Can you continue to develop that in relationship to, well, let me ask this question. After we, whatever the remedy is, Paxamine, for those who are like myself, are skeptical of dealing with the vaccine or dealing with the vaccine. As a people, will our public health change as of right now, looking, you as the medical doctor, looking into the next generation, the way we are, will our public health change by dealing with the virus? And therefore, we have to also be concentrating about putting that in place, that infrastructure. Will our public health change after we take the vaccines?
Let me be a little bit, that's a great question. And I have to be really blunt and dire in my answer. I think that what we're looking at, if we make the wrong choice, is mass extinction. Now, some people were in on the conversation that Anthony Fauci had maybe 2 weeks ago. He had a conversation with all of the black leaders. And he was trying to make a pitch, which he did, a very good pitch to them for the vaccine. And part of what he used in his argument in favor of the vaccine was he said that the lead researcher that helped to develop this vaccine was a black woman. Now, he didn't give her name, but he used just to, you know, playing the race card to try to sway these black leaders. And I think he was very effective with them in what he said. They were like little schoolboys sitting at the feet of their master. But the name of the doctor is, she's a PhD, Dr. Kizmekia Corbin. Kizmekia Corbin. She has a social media named Kizzy PhD on Instagram. And she is the lead vaccine researcher at NIH. And what did Kizzy PhD or Kizmekia Corbin, what did she have to say for herself when she looked at the data surrounding this vaccine? And this was maybe 6 months ago. She put a statement out on her Twitter account. She said when she looked at the data, it looked like black genocide to her. So the leading black researcher at NIH says it looks like black genocide to her from the inside. And they won't let her speak. I mean, I've been telling, every time I do an interview with people, I say, why don't you interview Dr. Corbin at NIH? Get her on the air. Let her talk. She said it was black genocide. What did she see that made her say that? You see, so that's coming from the inside. So now your question, and I said my answer is going to be very dire. What I'm saying is anybody who takes that vaccine is not going to be here to have a future. See, it's just like when Moses stood before the people. He said, I point out to you two conspicuous ways. One is of life and the other is of death. And so all of us right now, not just you, Brother Richard, all of us, we're standing in the valley of decision. Well, which way are we going to go? Now, some people say that they won't take the vaccine because it contains the fetal lung tissue of aborted male embryos. I mean, that's a good reason not to take it. I'm not sure I want to be injected with human, aborted fetal cells. Some people say they don't want the vaccine because it has nano electronics in it. At first, I didn't believe that, but then I actually have some pictures of the electronic components that are added to the vaccine. As a matter of fact, let me explain how those electronics really work and how they're connected to the 5G network. Remember, I said that Wuhan City was the rollout city, the model city for 5G technology all over the world. Where do you think the headquarters for what's the company, Huawei, that Trump has a battle against? It's Wuhan City. And so when you turn on 5G networks, wherever they are, the 5G electronic signal turns on viruses. This is a well-known biological principle. You could have a dormant virus in your body, like a coronavirus, is not doing anything. Somebody turns on the 5G signal at a certain frequency, all of a sudden you're sick. Have a roaring infection from a virus. The electronics turns it on and off, like a remote control on your television. So now when the nurse is giving you the vaccine, the electronics are in the syringe. And these are radio transmitters and receivers. And so she has an app on her phone connected to the central database, the central vaccine database. She taps the syringe on her phone. It uploads the lot number and the serial number of the vaccine dose that she's about to administer to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Those same electronic components now get injected into the patient. In other words, the way that UPS and FedEx track the vaccine on the trucks and the plane is the same way they're now going to track you, because those same RFID chips are now inside of the person who received the vaccine, transmitting signals and receiving signals. Now, remember, the new vaccine is a new vaccine, literally new, meaning it's never been tried before. Nobody ever used an mRNA vaccine before. The M stands for messenger. So this is giving a genetic messenger to your genetic code. In other words, this is inserting some language into your genetic code that God did not put there. This is genetic engineering, in other words. And the first dose of the vaccine is going to cause your body to produce the spike protein from HIV. And the spike protein is going to sterilize women because it's going to interact with the placenta, so it will not implant on the uterine wall. And it will also interact with the seminal vesicles in the testicles of men. And it's said to reduce the sperm count by something like 98%. So it sterilizes men and women. That's just the first dose. And then, of course, you're going to get the second booster, which is the M protein. And then you're going to get a third booster, which is going to be the N protein. And then the fourth shot is going to give you the P protein along with lipids. So now at that point, your body will be producing the S, the P, the M, and the N proteins, which means that your body is going to start to assemble millions upon millions of COVID-19 viral particles. And you are going to become a walking human viral factory. And now this is what you would call a zombie in the movie. They call them zombies. Now, I know you won't believe this, but look it up on the CDC website. The CDC is fully prepared for a zombie, for the coming. They say, we are prepared for the coming zombie of apocalypse. I'm not making this up. Look it up for yourself. How do you get a zombie? You give them those vaccines. That's what you do. And you alter their DNA, and you turn them into subhuman zombies that can be controlled electronically.
You know, the reason why I wanted to start about, you know, from especially in this context of, you know, the secondary Kwanzaa and self-determination, because it seems that, and I'm glad that if I understood you right, that y'all are doing these clinical trials using 25,000 people. Is that the way you, that 25,000 people would be a part of the trial and based off of that in relationship to the PECs?
Yes. We have that number enrolled now.
Okay.
And we're looking for more.
Right.
We're looking for more. We see, in other words, it's actually a clinical trial gathering information, but it's also protecting people.
Right.
You see, when people are on the Paxlovid, then they're pretty much out of lockdown. You see, you know, like if a whole family is taking Paxlovid, then that household is a safe zone.
Right.
Or they are on your job. Suppose you have, you know, 7 people that work in your department or 100 people, whatever the number is. Well, if everybody's taking the Paxlovid, then that department becomes a safe zone. So we're saying that to leadership, we're saying to pastors, you can get your congregation out of lockdown. You know, the Muslim mosque can reopen. You know, the schools can reopen. If you have everybody on something that is 100% effective at preventing the spread, well, then who needs a vaccine?
Right, and that gets to the point, you know, and I'm continuing to develop around this because, and I'm glad that they're, you know, showing and working with Cuba, because I'm really pleased the way Cuban medical infrastructure in relationship with taking care of the public health of its people is organized. And I think, you know, I just think that that's something that we should do. You know, we as Black people in this country, particularly should be in our communities, should be advocating as we making these, you know, you say these dire decisions about the viruses we take. Which leads me to the other point that you wanted to just get your feedback on, in the sense of how informed our community should be scientifically, as far as general scientific. You're a doctor, and there's other doctors that you mentioned, the woman from the CDC or the National Institute of Health, are specialists in the area. But because we're in a technological society, a medical technological society that we're in, do you think that we should become more scientific literate, especially when we're dealing with GMOs, synthetic biology, genetic engineering, that we should at least have some understanding? Because, again, what came out of this initial thrust past March is how much our health mobility is could have caused us so many lives to be lost, which may not have, if, as you said, if we were dealing with diet, vitamins, minerals, and having the right proper food within our environment. So isn't the being scientific literate important for us at this point in time and going into the future?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That is, I couldn't emphasize that point enough. That is absolutely correct. And that is the mission of the EuroImmunity Project, is to impart knowledge. And knowledge, you know, is power, they say, but it's only power if it leads to the doing of work. You know, power is the ability to do work, but you have to have a goal or a purpose to do some work. And so that's what the EuroImmunity Project is all about, doing that kind of scientific work, but not from the ivory towers down, not receiving scientific dictate from the likes of the White House Task Force on COVID-19. But no, this is grassroots science coming from the community up. And so what your question reminds me of is something that my great friend and colleague, who was actually the field general for Dr. Martin Luther King, and I'm referring to the great Reverend James Luther Bevel. Mm. And one of the Reverend Bevel's observations on education that he tied to parenting, he said parents shouldn't even have a child, or when you conceive a child, you shouldn't conceive a child unless you already have in mind a scientific education for that child. after the birth of that child. Otherwise, what are you giving birth to other than a slave? It is because of the lack of scientific understanding among our people that we are so easily led astray. So when I listen to the likes of Anthony Fauci, I mean, he most of the time he's spouting pure scientific nonsense. And then when I looked into the meaning of his name, the name Fauci in Italian means jawbone. So he literally is a jackass's jawbone.
Just talking, man.
Spouting scientific nonsense. But it sounds pretty good to a scientifically illiterate people.
Right.
And so one of the most important aspects of the European Unity Project is that it's a movement, so we involve people on all levels. So what we want to do is, we want to expand what we're doing. We're preventing the spread of COVID-19 with the Paxlovid. But now we need to start testing. We need to set up valid testing centers because the test that they're using, the PCR test, is lousy. It's 97% unreliable, according to a court of laws finding. 97% unreliable. False positives and false negatives. But we do have a very reliable home test. It's a 15-minute test. So we can train our students, high school students, middle school students, like they do in Cuba. We could train them to be a part of health vanguards, health brigades. And we can set up testing centers in our churches and in our schools, and we can test our own community.
Yes.
And then when we find someone who needs treatment because they tested positive due to accurate testing, then we'll put them on the nutritional diet that they should be on, and of course with the Paxlovid and other treatment they might need, because most people will have underlying conditions that would need some attention along with the COVID-19. So that's the way that we answer, I think, your very, very valid concern. We must increase the scientific literacy among our people by doing grassroots science among our people on behalf of our people.
And true. And you know, and I really appreciate that, because I think that that's as we move within this war that's going on, and that, you know, that when you mentioned that, it's always, you know, since the non-aligned conference or the non-aligned movement, there's always been the point of the Southern Hemisphere, you know, necessarily saying that they were going to not be dependent upon the Northern Hemisphere, the European, the European overlords, whether that be the IMF or World Health Organization or any of them, compared to being able to be in control. And you can see India and China particularly, and even those other countries, South Korea and all have moved to secure their medical health infrastructure. My last thought that I would like to, you know, get your thought on, my major concern, and I'm not, as Elliot said, I'm not technically literate, but the thing that scares the hell out of me is this mRNA, all right? Because and correct me if I'm wrong, without getting into the details, that vaccine is a technological creation that is being interjected within the body in order to increase the immune system to address the coronavirus. Is there a gap in my thinking as far as looking at that?
Yeah, that's in the general direction, but, you know, let me clarify a couple of things. But before I do that, let me go back and make another point with your previous question. You see, because what you really were talking about, and you're talking about, you know, what will our public health status be, you know, in the future? Well, everybody's talking about the health disparities as the reason why Black and brown people have a higher mortality and morbidity rate from COVID-19. But nobody ever wants to go into the history of why this health disparity gap exists in the first place. Well, the obvious historical reason is slavery. There was not much health care meted out to chattel slaves. But now, if we go back, say, about 100 years ago, do you know that there were 13 black medical schools?
Yes.
And dozens of black nursing schools and other medical training facilities, but 13 medical colleges that were training black doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rockefellers set up the Flexner Commission, and they went around and evaluated all of these facilities and found all of them to be deficient except two. And so for most of the 20th century, black people labored with only two medical colleges to produce doctors for us, Howard and Meharry. And now we have four, Morehouse and Charles Drew on the West Coast. But you can see that if you deprive people of 75% of their medical colleges and you destroy their ability to produce doctors and produce nurses, when I was training at Harlem Hospital, you could always tell what school a nurse came from because she had on a certain kind of a bonnet on her head. And these were the traditional black training grounds for black nurses. Well, all of that's been shut down. So is there any surprise that when they shut down the black colleges that train doctors, nurses, pharmacists, dentists, when they shut down the general hospitals in Philadelphia and Washington and all of the inner cities across the country under managed care programs over the last 20 years, when they decimate the ranks of the black farmers so there's no more food production among us? Well, we've just been set up as though we were in a concentration camp.
Yes.
A colony itself.
Yes.
Yes. And then the vaccine is just the final blow. I think people should understand what the purpose of a vaccine actually is. First of all, don't believe the hype. But vaccines, listen good now. Vaccines, the purpose of a vaccine is to start an epidemic. What's the proof of that? See, that's a big statement. The purpose of a vaccine is to start an epidemic. So if you look at polio, for example, in the world, the only people with polio in the world today are people who got the polio vaccine. Not so long ago on the West Coast and other parts of the country, there were measles outbreaks. What caused the measles outbreak? It was all the children who got the measles vaccine. They were spreading the measles vaccine to other people. The vaccine caused the epidemic. Now, here's the big time. See, that's small time stuff. Here's some research for your listeners. Go look up the London Sunday Times, the London Sunday Times from London, England. The date is May the 12th, 1987. I believe I have the date right. May the 12th, 1987. But the headline read, WHO admits smallpox vaccine campaign triggered AIDS in Africa. And the story went on to disclose that a contaminated smallpox vaccine was administered to over 300,000 Africans in Central Africa, and that's what started the AIDS epidemic that is raging to this day, that has probably killed over 150 million Africans. And don't think it's a matter of just in Africa, it was a hepatitis B vaccine developed by Dr. Maurice Stedman in Boston that started the AIDS epidemic in the United States, the hepatitis B vaccine that was administered experimentally to gay men in Greenwich Village and in whatever that place is in San Francisco. And then it was also used in prisons and orphanages in New York State and New Jersey, and also in Haiti. It was a hepatitis B vaccine that caused HIV and AIDS. That's what a vaccine is for. It is to start epidemics. Hmm. Now, you said mRNA vaccine. Well, for the people who follow the financial market, there's a Wall Street listing called mRNA. So when they, and if you look at Wall Street listing of mRNA, it is connected to a vaccine manufacturer called Moderna.
Mm-hmm.
The founding CEO of Moderna is a very well-known individual known as Anthony Fauci. He is the number one proponent of vaccines, and it is estimated that Moderna would probably profit at least $34 billion as a result of the current COVID-19 vaccine campaign taking place all over the world, not just in America. $34 billion of profit that Anthony Fauci's corporation stands to make. You see, so now, let me just very briefly say that the mRNA, the M stands for messenger. The RNA carries a message. It's like a coded message. Now, if you want to do the research, Bill Gates, approximately 1 year ago, signed a contract with a German corporation that's a subsidiary of Pfizer. It's a German corporation. It's called it's the name will come back to me. But it's a German corporation, and they actually are the manufacturers of the Pfizer vaccine. It's not manufactured in the United States.
Right.
It's under contract to be manufactured in Germany.
Is that Genentech?
And Bill Gates was the one that gave the contract to this company about a year ago to come up with this vaccine. Well, how could they come up with a vaccine a year ago before the outbreak of the epidemic? Well, remember, they had the event 201 in October of 2019. And also, I left out a vital piece of information that you need to know. There's a patent for the COVID-19 virus. The patent is held by the Peerbright Institute of the United Kingdom. The major shareholders for the Peerbright Institute, which does research on coronaviruses, happen to be not just Bill and Melinda Gates, but also Prince Philip, the royal consort of Her Royal Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. So the Peerbright Institute holds the European patent on the coronavirus itself. Now, again, people who are not necessarily so scientifically literate may not understand it, but if you have the patent on a virus, the same technology that it takes to manufacture a virus is exactly the same technology that's needed to make a vaccine. In other words, when you have one, you have the other. And if you have one, you do have the other. And if you have one, it means that you manufactured both of them. The same technology that they're using to manufacture the vaccine is exactly the same technology used to manufacture the virus in the first place. And that's all the mRNA vaccine is doing, is turning human beings into virus factories.
Right.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, I see some folks on the line. They probably got questions or comments, and we'll get right to them. Okay, you can join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. We're talking COVID-19, the vaccine in Black America. Our guest this evening is NOI Minister of Health and the Director of the Abundant Life Clinic in Washington, D.C., Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad. Again, you can join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. Time for an awakening. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Escape the digital plantation. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store are here for you. You are ready to be free of non-African social media. Don't run from danger, run to safety. Abibitumi.com is here for you. You are ready to be free of digital plantations to control your own products. Abibitumi.store is here for you. Abibitumi, Black Power, Abibitumi. The only word you need to know to join your global KometsU Black family, to join your interconnected KometsU Black communities. Escape the digital plantation now. Abibitumi.com, Abibitumi.tv, Abibitumi.tv.com, Abibitumi.store. We are here for you. Escape the digital plantation.
Know that this problem needs to be solved, and we can't keep relegating it to generation after generation because a few of us got a little money, a few of us got positions, a few of us have wealth, while the masses of our people are going steadily down. No one man can rise above the condition of his people. The brother said responsibility. Is it that we should let them take responsibility to do for us, or should we pool the knowledge that's at the table, the power that's in our community, the wealth that's in our community to change the harsh reality of Black life in America? We have to do the job of fulfilling the Black agenda. Thank you.
Have a message to the Black man, because the Black man today is a man who has been made now almost into a laughing stock. Nobody takes the Black man serious. We are just used to be somebody's tool. We are the sportsmen, we're the singers and the dancers, and we're also labeled as the pimps and the criminals and the drug dealers, and the killers, and the vagabonds of society. We're the bogeymen of British society. and other Western systems. And we want to dispel that lie and destroy those myths and put the black man back on the map where we belong. Who is the black man? The black man is the original man. If it wasn't for the black man, no other men could be on this planet. We are the fathers of humanity. We gave birth to all of you.
We are the watchmen on the wall. You are too. You watch with a political eye. We watch from a spiritual eye. But we're supposed to be the watchmen for the people that vote for us. The sad thing is the people vote, but they don't give you the money to run your campaigns. So here come big business.
How are you? How are you, Judge? How are you, Alderman? How are you, Congressman? How are you? How are you, Reverend? Well, what can I do for you today, Reverend?
You can't do nothing for me. See, that's what we got to be careful of. We got to be careful of who we bow down to. You see, when you get in your congregation and you talk this Jesus, this powerful Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of the Father with all power in his hand, then you go with your hat in your hand to the governor, to the mayor, to the president, begging for some crumbs. You have sold your God cheap. And you make the white man downtown disrespect all of us.
Time for an Awakening is a proud part of the Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black digital and podcasting platform.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 8:27 here in the city of Philadelphia, and we're in conversation this evening. The topic, COVID-19, the vaccine, and Black America. Our guest this evening, NOI Minister of Health and Director of the Abundant Life Clinic in Washington, D.C., Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad is with us in conversation. You can get involved, too, by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We've got some, I guess, questions or comments from our listening audience. I'm going to go to the phones and take some of the calls. Let's go to 267. You're first up. 267, are you there?
Yes, sir. Brother Elliot and Brother Rick, you have a wonderful guest here. I'm going to ask Dr. Muhammad, asking some comments to him. I'm from Temple Number 12, Brother Muhammad, and we used to say in the nation during the Louis Farrakhan that when it came to the brothers in Washington, D.C., we always looked at them as the intellectual. It started with Dr. Lonnie Shabazz in the First Resurrection, and yourself, of course, and one of the wonderful ministers that we ever had, and one of the best was Anthony Muhammad, who married Jim. So I'm happy to see that you're still around, brother. But I'm going to say this to you, brother, that people will tell you that in order to get rid of this COVID, you're going to need a vaccination, a vaccine. My question to you, sir, is what should we do when it comes to that? What do you suggest, or how do you suggest in your expertise that we get rid of it? Some people don't want to take the vaccine. They don't trust the government because the government has a history of killing black people. So, sir, in your expertise and all that you know, how do we get rid of this?
Okay, well, that's a very good question, and that goes really to the heart of the matter. And in one sense, I already alluded to the answer. All of us, one and all, with no exceptions, are standing in the valley of decision. Look at it this way. This is a Rosa Parks moment. Remember Rosa Parks? There was a moment in time when she said, no, I will not go back to the back of the bus. And that changed history because she said no. And she meant it. And she went to jail. And a whole lot of things broke out after that. It led to the development of the civil rights movement and the emergence of the young Dr. Martin Luther King. And the rest is what they say is history. But it took a little woman of fierce determination who understood that she had the right to sit anywhere she wanted to. So now with vaccination, what are your rights? Well, the enabling legislation passed by the United States Senate back in the 50s that allowed for the polio vaccine campaign, they made it very clear that anybody can refuse a vaccine for two different reasons. One, there's a religious exemption, and two, for any personal reason that they deem sufficient. So it could be religious, or it could just be your personal opinion. Now, they backed it up, this law that the Senate passed, they backed it up by referring to the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution, which says that U.S. citizens shall be secure within their persons. And they pointed out that this is the very reason why anybody must sign informed consent before anyone is allowed to pierce your skin, which would be a violation of your person, you see? And so the vaccine laws always made provisions for people to opt out. And so that just is something that requires, as I said, the courage of a Rosa Parks. But now it's not one person who's going to take the lead for all of us. No, it's not going to be like that this time, where Rosa Parks was the only one that had to go to jail. And Martin Luther King and those with him were the only ones in the Montgomery bus boycott. They were the only ones that had to suffer. No, this time, everybody who says no, who's on food stamps, they're going to say, okay, well, you won't get any food stamps until you roll up your arm. Oh, you're in Section 8 housing, you get rent assistance? Oh, well, that's going to stop unless you roll up your sleeve. Oh, your children get some subsidized daycare or they go to a public school? Oh, well, that has to stop until you get vaccinated. In other words, coercion will be used to force people to do what is against their will. Well, now, this, of course, is a violation of human rights. And so what we need to do as a part of our Your Immunity movement, we need to call on our lawyers, our human rights attorneys, and say that our human rights are currently being abused, and we can easily foresee that when people's right to food, shelter, clothing, education, and health care is being withheld on the basis of receiving an untested vaccine. Essentially, a lot of people say, well, I'm not scientifically literate. Well, you don't have to be to know that you don't want aborted fetal cells injected into your body. I mean, the Bible tells you that. The Quran tells you that. You see, so that's why it's a day of decision. Are you going to do what God said, or are you going to do what the devil said? Look at, this is a spiritual aspect that we're kind of moving into. But, you know, I mean, if life isn't spiritual, what is it? And we're talking about life and death issues. So that's spiritual. So if you go back in history, and this is appropriate at this time of the year, people are celebrating Nimrod's birthday. They call it Christmas. But it's really a pagan holiday celebrated in different ways in different places. But it goes all the way back to the time of Abraham, 4,600 years ago, and his nemesis, King Nimrod. Now, King Nimrod, of course, practiced the religion of Babylon, which believed in human sacrifice and cannibalism and all kinds of crazy stuff, and they worshiped idols. And the chief priest under Nimrod was Abraham's father, Azar. Now, that name Azar rings a bell. It should. Because the Secretary of Health and Human Services for the United States of America is a man named Azar. So the head of the vaccine program in the United States of America is named for the pagan father of Abraham in ancient Babylon 4,600 years ago. And so the children of Abraham, you see, the three wise men represent the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, the Muslim faith. See, this time of the year, you see it in the constellation Orion, that they renamed Nimrod. They say that's Nimrod up there. You see, and so the children of Abraham are now being challenged by the pagan authorities, Azar, to bow down and accept the king's meat. Remember Daniel and the captive slaves in Babylon, they were ordered to eat the king's meat. But the Bible never tells you what the king's meat was. The king's meat is human flesh. And so human flesh is being injected in the vaccine. And the children of Abraham, whether you be Muslim, whether you be Christian, whether you be Hebrew, are you going to bow down and accept the king's meat? Which also contains, as some say, the mark of the beast. Now, the electronic components, I mentioned the RFIDs, the radio frequency ID chips. But I forgot to mention one of the main ones. I just found out about this one yesterday. People who are in the cryptocurrencies will know exactly what I'm talking about. One of the nanobots or nano electronic components injected in the vaccine is your crypto wallet. In other words, the part of the global reset will end with a global cryptocurrency. And you won't have to worry about remembering your password. It will be injected into you, your digital wallet. It won't be your Nano S external digital wallet or your online digital wallet. No, it'll be floating in your bloodstream. So when you walk past the scanner will tell you how much you have in your digital currency account, no matter what part of the world you're in. So that's the plan, controlled by artificial intelligence, human beings reduced down to robots controlled by machines. Isn't that ironic?
Let's go to 302-559. 302-559, are you there? Let's put them back on hold. Let's go to another one, 302-438. Are you there? Question or comment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sister, what's your name?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Can you all hear me?
Yes, sister, what's your name?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yes, my name is Sister Lorraine. I got my nephew on the other line and another brother on the other line. My question, Dr. Harleen, was, first of all, I like to compliment the show. This is the first time I'm on a lot of good information. My nephew wanted to ask a question, but he had a stroke, so he can't really talk properly. But did you want to try talking, Brother Solomon? I got them on the line. Did you want to ask the question?
Yes. This information is beyond paramount. This information, I feel that it needs to be pervasive on the ground level. I mean, to like the street corner, it needs to be injected on a hip hop level. You know, like on a street level, from the corner store to corner store. It needs to be everywhere. It needs to be like ingrained in the brain. It needs to be
ingrained in the brain. That's
well known. It needs to be common knowledge, basically what I'm saying.
Well, you know, you're right. You're right on it. Now, I forgot to mention that the Your Immunity Project has a Facebook page. So a lot of the things that I'm saying and touching on very lightly on the surface, if you go to the Your Immunity Project Facebook page, you'll see all kinds of videos, all kinds of articles, all the information that people need. And that's where you would send people. You know, when people ask you questions, what about this, what about that, then you would just say, go to the Your Immunity Project Facebook page, and they can take their pick of what they want to look at. But that's you're right. Everybody needs to know this. It's vital. You're right.
Sister, did you have another question before I move on?
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that he got on. But thank you, Dr. Halim, for all the good information. My family's on the line. We all listen, and thank you. And thank you, brother, for the show.
Thank you for your comment.
Yeah, now you said that he had a stroke. What I would recommend that you do is have him go to the drhalim.com website, and we can do a teleconsultation. You might be surprised to know that a lot of people who have strokes, especially what they call vascular strokes, it's actually caused by a virus. And sometimes
you said for him to go to what site? Let me write it down for him because he can't write. He's in a nursing home. I'm in Delaware, and I'm trying to.
Yeah, well, it's real simple. DrHalim.com.
Okay,
Dr. Spell out the word doctor all the way out. DrHalim.
Okay.
.com. And just follow the instructions there. But, you might be surprised. A lot of people who have heart attacks, who have strokes, who have these vascular kinds of diseases, it's actually a virus that's inside the blood vessel that causes that. So they say you have a plaque there. Well, what's the plaque? See, it's just like a lot. Say if you ever had a wart on your skin, see, that's actually just a collection of viruses that makes a wart. Well, suppose that was on the inside of a blood vessel. Then you would call that a plaque. And they would say, oh, that caused a heart attack or a stroke. Well, maybe so, but if it's a virus, then we can treat it now, see, with the Paxlovid, and make it go away.
Did you get that information, sister?
Yes, I got it for him. But my thing is that I'm concerned because I'm in Delaware. He's in a nursing home in the Bronx, so I really can't.
Okay, but I'm just saying, for those who would like to get that information, that's where you would go to Your Immunity Project.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening.
And if I might, there is a journalist by the name of Yoshi Shimatsu. Yoshi, Y-O-I-C-H-I, and his last name, Shimatsu, Shimatsu, Yoshi Shimatsu. He's written an extensive research series on the origins of COVID-19. And so a lot of the things that I touched on come from his research. But there's an in-depth of detail that people can find out about. So it's Yoshi Shimatsu. Just look his name up online. And he has a whole, I think, like a 30-part series on the origin of COVID-19. He's really done his homework.
Okay. Let's go to 267-670. Are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
You
hear me? Oh, okay. Yes. I just wanted to quickly thank Dr. Halim for making the Paxlovid available to the Black community, and for passing the information out about the wickedness of the chemical and germ warfare, the COVID-19. Real quickly, my wife, she got it from her job, the COVID-19. I got it. Mm-hmm. Then I got it. She tested positive. She got it like a Sunday. I got my symptoms on a Tuesday. Fever, chill, body ache, sweat, you name it. And it just knocked me and her out for at least 3 days. So I broke the glass of emergency. I said, take this Paxima four times a day, morning, noon, early evening, and then at night, sprayed it two pumps in the both nostrils and in the throat area. The third day, those symptoms of fever and chills and all that were gone. I lost taste and smell for a whole week, but I was in denial. I took some bean soup, and I couldn't taste it. So I'm putting all the salt. I say, what's going on? I said, oh, damn, I can't taste no more. I can't. But that Paxima worked within the I had my strength, but I didn't have my taste or my smell. The second week, about a week later, I got my taste and smell back. And then I just, I'm just taking it now, like maybe twice a day. And I went to get tested just in case, and it came out negative. So the stuff worked. I have other testimonies. I got bit by a bug. It broke me out like a poison ivy for some reason on both arms. I went to the store for anti-itch creams. Nothing worked. Something told me spray that Paxima on it. Go on the next day. I told my sister that she breaks out with eczema. I said, spray that stuff on me. She said, it works. A brother had his daughter had bad cold and flu symptoms. She couldn't breathe, you know, chill and all that. He bought the stuff from me. She was okay within a week time. I told her four times a day, same thing that I did. She was okay. I had another brother, he testimonied and said that he had a gum pain. He tried everything, sprayed Paxima on him, that his pain of gum pain was going in a day. The stuff works.
Yeah, that's very, very, very good information. And I would encourage you and the people that you mentioned, if you have the time, why don't you call in some Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. on the Your Immunity Project conference call, because we collect those kinds of stories. You know, we're collecting those kinds of stories. And you see, like that last one that you mentioned, he had gum pain.
Yeah.
Most people don't know it. When you have cavities and gum disease, what's eating away your tooth is a virus. What's eating the bone in your gum with the gingivitis and all, it's a virus. And that's why amoxicillin and all those things they give you don't work, because those things don't work against viruses. But as the brother said, the Paxima does. And so don't tell your dentist. But a lot of times we can cure cavities and prevent the root canals and all that kind of stuff just with the Paxima.
Well, thank you for your contribution.
Oh, yes, sir. This is Brother Saldine. I'm Brother Dr. Eileen. Okay.
I thought I recognized your voice. How you doing?
Yeah, I forgot. Blake Slauson.
Yes, sir.
Have a good evening, sir. Let's go to 404. 404, question or comment from our guest.
Yes, sir. How y'all hear me, Eddie? Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Dr. Lean, man. God bless you, man. Hey, Dr. Lean, I'm a victim of this damn polio, man. Okay, when I was 6 years old in Georgia, right down the street from the CDC, I come to visit my granddaddy, and they fooled him, man, with this damn polio, had me and my cousin take this damn centrifuge, man. Okay, so 42 years, my stomach was hurting. I was like 6 years old when everything I took that polio back then. But fast forward 42 years, Dr. Lee, guess what? Me and my cousin end up with kidney cancer, man. Okay, that mine was in 205. Okay, and then I looked it up. It's SV40, simian virus 40, man. And again, Dr. Lee, man, is there any way I can sue these devils, man? Okay, you just come to me, man. They got to pay me and my family, man. But this is some bullshit, man. I hate to cuss Elliot on your show, man. But I've been effed up with this polio vaccine, man.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you called. I'm very sorry to hear about your situation. And unfortunately, there's so many people that are like you and even worse off, because some of them are dead. You know.
Yes, sir.
But Now, you raised two different things in what you said, and I'll try to rebrief with both of them. One was you mentioned SV40, simian virus number 40. Simian means monkey.
Yes, sir. Monkey. Reese's monkey.
So what that means is that when they examined the polio vaccine, they found at least 40 different viruses in that vaccine that came from monkeys. Now, the reason that SV40 became famous was because SV40 was the first virus ever discovered that causes cancer.
Yep.
Now, SV40 is considered to be what is called a Lente virus, L-E-N-T-E, Lente virus. Lente just means slow.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who got a polio vaccine with the SV40 virus contaminating it, they don't get cancer in the first year or in 10 years or in 20 years. They get cancer, just like you said, 40 years, 50 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So in the black community, listen good now, what do we have? We have an epidemic of breast cancer in women and an epidemic of prostate cancer in men.
Amen.
You almost can't mention a black leader that has not had prostate cancer. Now, when you examine the tumor that's in the prostate gland of these men or the tumor in the breast tissue of these women who develop cancer after they have had the polio vaccine in childhood 50 years ago, you always will find the SV virus in the center of that tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get to the reason why all of this is covered up. See, brother asked the question, could he sue them? Well, you should be able to sue them, but Congress took away your right. They say that you can't sue a vaccine company if it causes an injury or even if it causes death, you can't sue them. But they did set up a vaccine injury fund at the CDC, that is just a bureaucratic nightmare for most people. It doesn't really give them anything. In other words, what I'm saying is this, that if the government, if the CDC, if the FDA ever admitted what I just said openly, and I'm not the first one to say it, Dick Gregory was talking about this 20 years ago. If the government ever admitted that SV40 causes cancer and is responsible for all of the breast cancers and all of the prostate cancers and other cancers, you see, that would be the biggest civil lawsuit in the history of the world, because millions of people would say, wait a minute, you mean the reason that I died of breast cancer, the reason why I got prostate cancer, the reason why I lost family members is because the government gave a mandatory vaccine that they knew was contaminated? Let me finish on this point, just to bring it home. I went to medical school at Case Western Reserve in Cleveland, Ohio. I was a junior classmate of Dr. David Satcher. David Satcher became the first black surgeon general under Bill Clinton. Before he was Surgeon General, he was the director of the CDC.
Yep.
So when David Satcher, who's my friend and classmate, a lot of times when he would come to Washington, D.C. on official business, he would stop by my clinic, which was in the projects. And we would talk, you know, like old classmates. And so back in the day when I first became aware of SV40, he was the director of the CDC. I said, David, I'm finding out that the polio vaccine used to be contaminated with SV40. I said, is there any truth to that? He said, oh, yes, that's a well-known fact. I said, wow, well, when was it taken out? He said, well, who said it was taken out? I said, well, wait a minute. You said that you that the SV40 virus was contaminating the vaccine. So what year was it when they cleaned it up? He said, we never cleaned it up. I said, what do you mean? He said the SV40 virus is still in the polio vaccine. We never took it out.
So, Dr. Lee. Yes, sir. Hey, you're right about David Sachs, man. Hey, hold on, and I want to say something else, man, please.
Go ahead.
But this is my life, man. This is my life right here, man. So I'm an electrician. I worked in Dr. Sachs' office because I'm in Atlanta, man. And I worked in his office. I saw it. And if I'd have known that he know that, I swear to God, I'd electrocute his ass, man. I thank God I ain't getting changed. I'm serious. I'd have lit his ass up before Eddie Pope, man. I'm serious, man. So goddamn America, man. That's the way I feel. And they don't want to pay me, y'all not going to pay their ass, man. So, Dr. Lean, I'm going to get in contact with you, man, so you can help me out. But I'm so goddamn mad with America,
all right, brother.
Man. And don't y'all take that poison, man. Don't y'all take it, Elliot. Don't take that shit, man.
I hear you, brother.
You're right, brother.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
Yeah, now, you know, there's another controversy going on that the nurse from Tennessee, I think her name was Tiffany Dover. She was on television, and she was one of the first ones that took the vaccine. And then she passed out on camera. And she hasn't been seen since. Now, there's rumors saying that she passed away. And then the other people say, no, it's not true that she didn't pass away, that she's fine. And so what I would say is they need to call another press conference so we can all see that she is fine. And then that would dispel the rumors.
Yeah, because that's all you see now on the television is they're going to different cities, and some of the first responders or first nurses or doctors that take the shot, they have black folks sitting up there taking it.
Yeah. Now they did report that out of the first one, I think it was first 112,000 people that got the vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, they said it was 3,150 were so disabled by the vaccine that they could not go about their daily activities or go to work. Now, they did not define what they meant when they said they could not do daily activities. So I was telling my mom about that. She said, what does that mean? You know, she said, what does that mean, Mookie? You know, they couldn't comb their hair? What? They couldn't brush their teeth? What does that mean? I said, Mom, they didn't say what it meant. They just said they couldn't carry out their daily activity or go to work. 3,000 of them. So, you know, so people have to make their own choice, but see, the facts are not looking too good.
Dr. Lee,
vaccine.
Can you spend some more time with us?
Yes. What time is it?
About 9:03.
Yes, I have about 20 more minutes. It's about bedtime for my mom. So
okay. Well, we'll try to run through
20 minutes, and then we can. I'll try to be a little briefer in my answers, because sometimes I get carried away.
Well, there ain't no problem. We need this information. We'll try to breeze through some of these calls. Let's go to 347 in New York. 347, New York City. New York. Maybe they stepped away. Let's go to 267-444. In Philadelphia, 267. Let's put them back on hold. Let's go to 314 and St. Louis. 314-566. Are you there?
Oh, you're all over the country.
Yeah. Let's go to St. Louis again. 314-363. St. Louis. Let's drop them. Let's go to Detroit, 313. Detroit. Detroit. 313, Detroit. Let's put them back on hold. Let's go to 215 again in Philadelphia. 215, are you there? Brothers and sisters, if y'all got questions, y'all, it's a comment, y'all should ask them. Come on now. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Are you there, sister? Sister, are you there? Let's go to Greensboro, North Carolina. Greensboro, are you there?
Wow.
Let's put them on hold. Let's go to 602. 602? 602. 602, are you there? Let me put I better check these things out. You know what? Let's take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll try this again. I know it ain't nothing wrong with these phone lines.
Okay, is this your normal quitting time? Do you normally stop now?
No, we usually go to 10.
Oh, I see.
But let me put them back on hold. We'll take a brief break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation for the time we have left with Dr. Lee. Okay, with Dr. Lee Muhammad. COVID-19, the vaccine in Black America. For the time we have left, you can join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. Again, that's 215-490-9832. Time for an awakening. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening. With host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
I transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customers, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kanban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations to help you grow into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard this special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
For 12 years, I and others like me had held out radiant promises of progress. I had preached to them about my dream. I had lectured to them about the not too distant day when they would have freedom all here now. I had urged them to have faith in America and in white society. Their hopes had soared. They were now booing me because they felt that we were unable to deliver on our promises. They were booing because we had urged them to have faith in people who had too often proved to be unfaithful. They were now hostile because they were watching the dream that they had so readily accepted turn into a frustrating nightmare. And so the collision course is set.
The desegregation decisions and other type of legislation and Supreme Court decisions depends upon changing the white man's mind. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that our own mind has to be changed. We have to change our mind about ourselves.
In what way?
Well, so he teaches us the importance of moral reformation, a knowledge of self. And for instance, the average so-called Negro, he doesn't think that he can go into business and provide jobs for himself. And because of this, he thinks that he can only get a job from the white man, or he can only get clothes from the white man, or he can only get food from the white man. And we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are taught that the same thing that the white man has done for himself and his kind, if our people could be if we could be cured of our slave mentality that was indoctrinated into us during slavery, we would realize that just as the white man can do these things for himself and his kind, we can get together in unity and harmony and do the same thing for ourselves and our kind.
I'm not wondering at all about them. I'm concerned with the suffering and the pain of the masses of black people. No one wants to pay reparations. The Jews received over $100 billion in reparations and gets $4 billion annually. A Holocaust museum was set up for them on this soil for over $200 million, and they get $21 million annually just for operating expenses. But the Catholic Church, the Pope, the Jews, the Arabs, white people in general, no one wants to pay reparations to these, the sons and daughters of Africa. So I speak to them. I don't speak to the family of those two Jews. There are too many of us for me to speak to them.
And one of the reasons why I'm always happy to come to this organization, because you're the only one, you're the only black organization, again, that understands to put race first. Race first. Race first. And I've had some white folks to tell me that I was a flaming militant, a radical, or whatever all of these names were that they called me. And I said that I am very pleased that you called me a nationalist, because you could have said that I was a member of the NAACP or the Urban League. So I said, I'm very pleased of the names that you have given. But I said that because we put race first, something is wrong with us. But everybody else puts their own first, because God bless the child who has his own. And so I think that race first is very important. And though we meet in a different venue, we're not at the slave theater, we're not at the church, we're now at the Masonic Temple, it really does not matter where we are physically. It matters where we are in our minds. And wherever we meet, as long as we know that we're Africans and as long as we know that we are black people living here in America, we know exactly who we are. You notice you can put an Uncle Tom in any venue in the White House. You can even put him in his. He's going to still be a Tom. You can put him anywhere you want. Well, it's the same thing with us who are strong people. Wherever we are, we're going to be the people that we need to be.
Encourage, let me just say this before our time winds up, and that is, I want the people in the audience to go back
and look at the video clip from Roots. It's entitled something like Breaking Kunta Kinte. That scene opens with Lauren Green sitting in, who's the plantation master, sitting in his office, and then Fiddler comes in and says, we don't want to be too hard on the runaway. Kunta Kinte has just run away and been caught. And so the time comes for him to get his lashing. And if you look at this scene, it's about 9 minutes, and study the scene. Study the role of everybody or bodies that are in this particular clip. And you will find that there is an equivalent role in the political life of our country today, whether it's on the national level or on the local level. There's the black man who actually does the whipping of Kunta Kinte. There's the white man who does the whipping. There's the black man who intervenes with the boss man and tries to save the life of Kunta Kinte. There's Kunta himself, who eventually is forced to admit that his name is Toby. And there's dozens of bystanders, black, who are watching. This is a very powerful scene. And it's an analogy of exactly what is happening in our community today. Let's give those characters names in our community and call them what they are, and then take care of business about that.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening, and we're in conversation this evening with NOI Minister of Health and Director of Abundant Life Clinic in Washington, D.C., Dr. Abdul Aleem Muhammad. COVID-19, the vaccine in Black America is the topic this evening, and for the time to have left, you can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. Dr. Aleem?
Yes.
Before we go back to the phones again, let me ask a question. Some of the things that we've been discussing tonight is very important for our listening audience, because they're not going to get this information from the television or some of the black misleadership class out there. In fact, the black misleadership class is encouraging rank and file black people to take this vaccine. But has there been any conversation among some of our doctors about looking over this so-called research that you find some of the talking heads, whether it's Fauci or any of them, we did the research. Is there any type of independent move among black physicians to look over this research and come up with the assessments based on what they see?
Yes, the answer to that question, and that's a very important question, is yes, and that's a part of the Year of Unity Project clinical trial. Now, the institutions that are coming on board with the clinical trials include Tuskegee. They're at the center of it. They have a newly renovated George Washington Carver Laboratory, and the federal government has already moved doses of the vaccine in those special freezers onto Tuskegee's campus. And you have members of the faculty at Tuskegee, some of whom are pro-vaccine, But you also have other members of the faculty who are looking for alternatives. So Tuskegee is kind of like the center of some of that activity that you mentioned. We're also asking the historically black colleges and universities to be a part of the Year of Unity Project clinical trials, as well as the four black medical schools. Now, we sent out our research files to the Dr. McDougall, who's the president of the National Medical Association, and all of his top staff people. These were some of the people who were in the meeting with Fauci, but they had already been given the research data on what we're talking about. You see, so in the past, you know, if they say past is prelude, in the past, the National Medical Association and many of the black doctors and most of the black medical schools, when we did the clinical trials with interferon in 1996, they all were on board. I mean, so I think what we have to do from the grassroots is we have to appeal to people in leadership, whether it's professional leadership, political leadership, economic business leadership, whatever it might be, whether it's faith leadership in churches and mosques and synagogues. We have to appeal to them to step forward and be a part of this Your Immunity Project clinical trials, and put the political pressure on people like Fauci and Moderna and Pfizer and say, okay, don't tell us what the data says. We're not schoolboys. Let us, we'll send our scientists and we'll inspect your laboratories. And we'll look at the data ourselves. And then we'll take samples of your vaccine. And we have fully capable laboratories at Tuskegee and other places. And we have scientists that can look at it. People say, well, we don't believe that there's micro or nano electronics in the vaccine. Well, they have an electron microscope at Tuskegee where we can look and see. You see what I mean? So we have that capability. But we just need to let people know, number one, that we do have the capability, that we do have the expertise among us. And then we just have to get ourselves organized politically, economically, and yes, scientifically, so that then we can say, okay, you have a vaccine, send us some samples, we'll check it out, we'll report back to you what our findings are. And that's what independent people would do for themselves, especially when we have a history like ours. I mean, it's not like Tuskegee was just yesterday.
I know it.
I mean, that went on for 40 years. And you see, and this is another thing. See, I asked Dr. Satcher when he was the director of the CDC. I said, how come you were the director of the CDC? Why didn't you issue an apology? You see?
What was his response, Dr. Lee? I'm just curious.
There was no response.
Okay. Okay. You know, before I go to the phone, that clip I played that had Dr. King's voice on there speaking to us, said that he had convinced the people to have faith in a people who have too often proved to be unfaithful. We know, yeah. We know who he's talking about. We got to stop this. Yeah. If we're going to say and reverence Dr. King on his birthday in a couple of weeks, listen to his voice, especially some of his things he said 2 years before he was murdered.
Yeah.
We got to stop in 2020 having faith in people who have too often proved to be unfaithful.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And when I was a young man, I was very honored to have marched a couple of times with Dr. King, you know, and that was even when he was in Chicago in Cicero, you know. So I have a personal experience with that. But what a lot of people don't know, especially younger people, people younger than me, and that's almost everybody. What they don't know is that when Dr. King was alive, when he was the activist, when he was doing all of the things that he's so famous for, do you know that most of the pastors in the Christian churches wouldn't allow him to speak from their rostrum?
Yeah, distance himself from him. Yes.
Yeah, that was the origin of the Progressive Baptist Union. Because the regular Baptists, they were afraid of Dr. King. So now that he's safely in his grave, you see, now it's all right for everybody to pretend like they were with him when he was alive. And that's just not true. And so it's the same today. We need a small cadre of activists, you know, who understand and who are willing to take the field in defense of our people. And we know later on when the coast is clear, you know, all the big shots will show up and try to take all the credit. But, you know, we just have to be the grassroots and just do what the grassroots do. We just grow, you know. Okay. We just spread.
Let's go to 216, Cleveland, 216. Are you there, Cleveland?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Brother Elliot, it is a pleasure to speak with you. This is Vince calling from Cleveland.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing excellent, and I am extremely gratified to hear the broadcast this evening. I think everything is divine order, and that's what led me to this. I wanted to ask the dear doctor regarding the two exemptions that he mentioned. He mentioned a religious exemption, and he also mentioned what sounds like a moral objection. I'm interested in knowing, is there any way that you can document your exemption, and is it something that can be done to enable you to travel if they mandate vaccines on international flights and domestic flights?
Well, that's a very good question, and I don't think I have an exact answer to that. I don't know what they have in mind. Now, what we're trying to do to meet that challenge is, I think you heard us talk about the clinical trials. Well, that's to collect data that will scientifically show that anybody who's taking Paxlovid is immune to COVID-19 and is COVID-19 free. And if we can scientifically document that and certify that through our own black institutions and our own experts, see, that will be loaded up on to everybody's phone. The vaccine makers, they're putting all that stuff up on a phone app, and you'll have checkpoints to get on a plane or train or even public transportation. Somebody will say, let me see your vaccine status on your phone. It's been explained to me that when you get vaccinated, then you'll have an app that will show like a green light. Then over a period of like 90 days, then that green light will turn to red. So then when you try to get on the bus or the train, then they say, oh, no, you have to get your vaccine status updated. And they'll have vaccine stations all over the place, right there in the train station, right there at the airport. They'll route you right down the hall where you can get your latest vaccine, and that will turn your phone app green. Then you can get on the plane. So now what we're trying to do is fight fire with fire. So we're saying we're enrolling people in the Paxlovid trials. We're collecting all the data to prove that they are safe and that they are no threat to the public. And that app will be on their phone, and we'll have a green light that says they're good to go. Now, this is where our political... So you said you're from Cleveland, right?
Yes, sir.
So, look, in 1996, when we had won the scientific argument to do clinical trials testing the interferon with Anthony Fauci at NIH, but they were holding up the money. So now your congressman at that time, the Honorable Lewis Stokes, he was the chairman of the Subcommittee on Health. So I went to meet with Mr. Stokes. I said, we're trying to do this clinical trial for the interferon. He knew all about it. And he said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, they're holding up the money. He said, okay, Dr. Muhammad. He said, don't worry about it. He said, if they're holding up your money, I'm going to hold up their money. And, you know, 3 days later, you know, the budget was approved. We had the money, and we did the clinical trial. You see, so the same thing is going to be necessary this time, that we have to line up the Congressional Black Caucus. We have to line up all of our political leadership, and we have to make an appeal to our leaders and say, you have to help defend your own people.
Mm.
Who have suffered these injustices in the past, and you must step forward, whether you're a faith leader, whether you're a political leader, economic leader, in entertainment or sports. Now is the time for leadership to step up and give the scientific people like me, give us the room and give us the resources so we can do this much necessary clinical research to prove our point. Otherwise, all of us are going to be lined up like sheep being led to the slaughter, receiving a vaccine that's going to change our genetic structure. So back to that question that Brother Richard asked a long time back, you know, I mean, looking at the future, hey, well, what is your future if somebody has altered your genetics? Are you still even a human being? Are you still in the image and likeness of God? So the scripture in Revelation says that we should not fear the one who can kill the body. It says fear the one who can kill the body and the soul. So I think that's what we're faced with here. And so we from the grassroots are appealing to our leadership. You need to step forward and play your proper role, you know, in the defense of your people, because it is wartime. And nobody can afford to sit on the sidelines or try to lead from the back. No, you lead from the front.
Wow.
Brother, thank you Brother for Vince. Your answers, sir.
Brother Vince?
Thank you. Thank you for, yes, for that question.
Brother Vince, talk to you soon, man.
Yes, sir. Pardon me?
Talk to you soon.
Okay, absolutely.
All right, peace.
Peace.
Let's try 602 again. 602, are you there?
Yes. Yes, brothers. Good evening. Brother Marcus here.
All right.
Good evening. You know, what Dr. Aleem said and what Brother West said, I can relate to it because I'm born in the Caribbean, and they gave us that TB shot when we were kids. And, you know, I always had bronchitis growing up. I always had fight with bronchitis till I got older. When I came to America, they gave us that, when you certain jobs, they give you a tying test. And that's the test if you have TB. And that test always positive. See, they had to go give me a chest X-ray all the time. See? So the brother right.
And this is after right. You took the vaccine?
Yes, yes. They when we were kids, they gave us, they lined us up in Jamaica and gave us that TB shot. They come to school and give it to us. So everybody line up and we get that shot. And when I came to America, every time I take that tying test, it was a tying test they give you on your hand, they stick you with a pin, and it would be a positive. It's your positive for TB all the time. See, so
maybe I can respond to that and to offer a little bit of clarification. Now, the TB tying test is not actually a vaccine. That actually is a test. It's a skin test to see if you get a reaction in the skin. But it is not a vaccine. And as far as I know, as a test itself, it's a safe test. But it will reveal if a person has been in contact with tuberculosis. And that's why they do it.
Yes.
So now, let me add one other thing. Now, you're from Jamaica, you said?
Yes.
Okay, now I don't know about Jamaica specifically, but many of the islands in the Caribbean, all throughout Central and South America, and especially in Africa, one of the vaccines that they did receive, maybe you received it when you were a child, and maybe this will ring a bell with you, did you ever receive something called BCG? BCG.
I don't remember that, but whatever they gave me, it gave me a big keloid on my arm. All of us kids, whatever they gave us, it gave us a big keloid.
So well, it actually turns out that in all over Africa and many other parts of the so-called third world, you know, they call it the third world, they got this BCG vaccine against tuberculosis. And it was outlawed in the United States. But it turns out that since tuberculosis is a part of the Corona-19 virus, this chimera. People who receive this BCG vaccine for tuberculosis have a protection against the COVID-19. And this explains why when you look at the statistics for Africa, it's not just the Neanderthal genes that are in Europe, but it's the fact that many Africans did receive the BCG, and a lot of our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean and South America, they also received the BCG vaccine against tuberculosis. But it seems to be protecting them also against COVID-19. So that's some good news, you know, that a lot of people are not aware of. Now, no Americans received the BCG. It was never used in America.
You're right, because I didn't see none of the people here see have that keloid that we have.
Yeah.
Thank you for that clarification, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call, sir.
Now, see the fact that you get a keloid like that makes me think that you probably did get the BCG when you were a child.
Yes, it's most likely it because...
But it would have been back home. It would have been back home in Jamaica.
Yes, it's in Jamaica because there were kids that had come and they had this big needle. It's like everybody...
Well, you were a little boy.
Yeah. They said, you go, you know? So, but thank you for that clarification, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your contribution, sir.
All right.
Let's go to 215. 215, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. How y'all doing?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'll praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum, Dr. Alim. How you doing?
Wa alaykum salam. Do I recognize this voice?
This is Brother Joe from Philadelphia, mosque number 12.
Yes,
how you doing? I'm doing fine. I'll praise be to Allah. You know, Dr. Alim, I want to, you know, thank you for coming on tonight with Brother Ellie and Brother Richard, because you've provided a wealth of information to our listeners and stuff. And the callers, they have had some great comments and questions. Because, you know, like you say, like Brother Ellie and Brother Richard, you're not going to get this information nowhere else but on a station like this, you know, Time for an Awakening. And, you know, when you were speaking earlier, Dr. Alim, about Dr. Fauci, you know, I was listening to one of the white conservative stations, and they had this Caucasian lady on there, and she was like a colleague of Dr. Fauci's, and she pretty much, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, she called him a charlatan, said he was no good. I mean, she made some slanderous accusations against him. So the moderator was saying to her, well, you know, she happened to be a doctor of infectious disease herself. I forgot the Caucasian lady's name. Well, anyway, he said, well, you know what you said.
Was her name Judy Mikovits?
That's the one, yes. You rang my bell, Dr. Lee. Yes, that was her name. And so the host of the show, George Norrie, said, well, you know, Dr. Makovich, that's slanderous. You know, you can be sued by Dr. Fauci. He said, well, let him sue me then. He knows everything I'm saying is true. He said, that's why he avoids me. He said, that's why he doesn't want to, you know, that's why none of the networks except for you give me an interview, because they know I know his true calling card. Yeah. I know his true colors. He said, I call him out, and since I say things about him all the time, he never come after me, because he know if he opened that can of worms, he'd be exposed to the world. And when I heard this, Dr. Lim, I said, wow. I said, this is deep, man. I mean, she called this joker out, man. I said, wow. You know?
Now, Dr. Mikovits, she recently, she has two books out. I think she has a new book that just came out over the summer. And you heard me talk about the Your Immunity Project conference call. I've invited Dr. Mikovits to speak. I don't know if it will be this Tuesday or the following Tuesday. I have to check with her schedule. But she's in principle, she's agreed to speak to us on the Your Immunity Project conference call either this Tuesday or the following Tuesday. You know, she has a lot to say.
Yes, she does, to say the least.
And when I talked to her, you see, some of the things that we were doing on the outside, you know, pushing the Chemron at the time and the interferons, we were pushing on the outside. And I knew that there was somebody at NIH that was working on the inside, but I didn't know who it was.
Yes.
And in fact, there was some research that was done at NIH,
And when we had the big scientific debate with Fauci in October of 1992, see, we dug out some research from NIH that proved that interferon was better than AZT.
Yes.
And when we laid that on the table, that ended the debate because Fauci's name was on it. But the person mm-hmm. who did the research was Judy Mikovits.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. See, so again, I didn't know who she was back then. And then as a result of that, just to show you how low down and vicious Fauci is, he had her railroaded into prison. She spent some time in jail.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised to hear that because he's an evil person. See, that's the thing, Dr. Elaine said, it, like on this terrestrial radio station that me, Brother Ellen, Brother Richard listened to here in Philadelphia, see a lot about black hosts of the radio show and even some of the black doctors, they hold this guy in high regard because they operate from a position of ignorance. See, they don't know his true history and everything.
That's right.
Matter of fact, he's been honored with an award here by one of these radio people. He don't deserve it and stuff because they, again, when you don't know the truth, like you say, when you know better, you do better. And so something about people, they get caught up in the hype about Dr. Fauci and they think this guy is some kind of great guy. So he just turned 80 years old, finally figured. He's not a nice guy. He's an evil person. And he's a charlatan like Dr. Mekovich said. But some of the people, they got misinformation about the guy. And lastly, Dr. Halim, because I don't want to hold you up too long, and I close with this. You know, like I was reading the final call with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, you know, they keep saying mask up, but what none of these doctors hardly are saying to anybody is have preventive care. You know, build up your immune system. Eat healthy, like Minister Farrakhan said, eat healthy. Drink plenty of good water. You know, eat good fruits and vegetables. Have a good diet, nutrition. That's one of your best preventive measures. Take your golden seal, your echinacea, your ginger, your oregano, or all them things that can build up your immune system. All they keep saying is mask up, social distance. Well, I know people, Dr. Lane, a good friend of mine, a husband and wife, they did everything that Fauci and all these other charlatans said. They said, the brother said, Joe, I masked up. He said, me and my wife, we quarantined. We stayed in the house. We only went mm-hmm. outside for, like, curbside service. We did everything. We wore the mask. And we still tested positive for it. So the answer can't be just the mask up and social distance. You got to build up your immune system. And then these people hardly say that. All they telling people to mask up. And that's why with people like yourself and Minister Farrakhan come in handy, because y'all giving out people the balanced side of things, where a lot of these so-called health professionals are not doing that. And they're doing a disservice not only to black people, but for the law. The committee as a whole by just telling people masked up, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the difference is Minister Farrakhan is trying to save people and people like Anthony Fauci is trying to kill them.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Lane.
I think anybody who ever looked at Anthony Fauci's record of results, I think I said earlier in the show, mm-hmm. maybe I didn't, but 30 years ago, he was promising a vaccine against HIV. It never showed up.
Mm-hmm.
He never got control of any epidemic that ever came down the pike.
And if
you compare China, that has a population five times the population of the U.S., they only had about 80,000 cases total, 3,000 deaths total. And look at the United States. Millions
yes.
upon millions of infections and over 350,000 deaths.
They should tell you all you need to know right there, Dr. Lin.
And they don't know what they're doing. They need to resign. As a matter of fact,
I agree.
I would think that there should be an investigation to see whether or not this is a matter of criminal professional neglect and malpractice.
I agree, Dr. Lin.
Thank you for your contribution.
You're welcome. And real quick, Dr. Lee, may Allah continue to bless you and your family. May Allah continue to bless your mother and live many more years, brother. That's a blessing in itself. Thank you, Dr. Lee, for your time. Thank you, Brother Ellie, Brother Richard. I close. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Dr. Lee.
Thanks a lot. I think I have time to do one more question, then I got to take
Okay, let's
mom.
Go to 646. 646?
Yes, good evening to all.
How are you?
Just two quick things, Brother Muhammad. Number one, does Fauci have a financial stake in this?
Do I have a financial stake in
No, what? Do Fauci have a financial stake in the vaccine?
Oh, yes. He was the founding CEO of Moderna. So that's that was the vaccine that was just released the other day. So he was the founding CEO of Moderna. Then he allegedly stepped aside. But he's been pushing that vaccine because it, allegedly Moderna stands to make $34 billion. So, yes, he does have financial interest in it. Yes.
Okay. Now, also, I've heard people like Scotty Reed and some others talk about supporting and taking the vaccine because of, I think, what he said, if I'm not mistaken, is we've had the polio virus. We've had the flu virus and other types of vaccination. Now, my position is this. Those vaccinations took years to develop. How could anybody in their right mind take a vaccine that was basically manufactured within, I guess, a couple of months, and nobody really knows what the ingredients are that would use to create this virus? And there's no detailed study. I mean, it's just logic. Logic tells you, based on the history of the white man, you don't trust no devil with his history and what he's done. I mean, when he came to America, he brought the smallpox and damn near wiped out the Native Americans. And he wants to do herd immunity and everything else to decrease the population or the planet. So why God's earth would you take a vaccine that we don't even know what the ingredients are? And someone like yourself, who I know has way more access to information than I do, you don't even know what the ingredients are. So what the hell is wrong with these people who talking about taking a vaccine? Are they retarded, demented, all comments about the Senate, or just whatever? I just don't understand it. What is the logic behind it, the belief? Because it can't be the belief in science, and it damn sure better not be the belief in the white man doing anything right. So I don't know.
Well, I think that you're on it. I mean, anybody who is logical, who's rational, who's thinking with a sane mind would have those exact same questions and would hesitate until they got some rational answers in return to those questions. And right now, all we have, you know what? People don't even know what the vaccine approval process is. Let me take a couple of minutes to explain how a vaccine actually gets approved. Basically, the FDA and the other agencies, when a vaccine maker claims that they have a vaccine that's ready, basically the FDA sends them a blank form, and the drug company is allowed to fill out the form and is allowed to leave blank any answers that they don't want to answer. They attach to the forms that the FDA sends them whatever scientific data that they may have, they put that as an attachment, and they send it back to the FDA. Now, again, the form might be many, many pages, but that's all it is. It's just a form that gets filled out by the drug company with the understanding that any question that they don't want to answer, they don't have to answer, and with the understanding that the FDA is not going to challenge any information that is provided to them by the drug company. In other words, the FDA takes the drug company's word for it on face value and never inspects the data or the laboratories or interviews the scientists or in any way. They just accept on face value whatever the drug company is willing to admit to. And then, of course, remember that the vaccine companies, the drug companies, are indemnified, that you cannot sue them even if they injure you or even if they kill you, you cannot sue them for those injuries. So now, where are we with this warp speed vaccine, as the caller indicated? Warp speed. I mean, that sounds like Star Trek. There was Star Trek Enterprise. You know, and that's what this. That's exactly what this is. This is Enterprise. This is not medicine. This is not science. This is the USS Enterprise mission to get the stock market to go up. So just look it up. mRNA. It's on the stock market, and it has a recent rise because of this announcement. And so where are we? They did the animal trials. That's phase one. They did the phase two trials. Now, with this public rollout, with the emergency approval, do you know what this is? This is actually the phase three trials of the vaccine approval process.
And people are being
used as human guinea pigs as a part of the phase three clinical trials in an untested vaccine.
Now, Dr. Lee, Dr. Mohammed, let me just ask you this right quick. What do you feel that people need to do other than wear their masks and try to stay away from these cretins as much as possible? Is there anything else that you have put together that the people can look at, read as a template to what we can do to try and save ourselves from this madness? Have you put together?
You're talking about how do we need to separate ourselves medically, you're really saying. See, what is our alternative to this system here, this diabolical system that intends to kill us? What's the alternative? Well, that's what we're developing, and we're calling it right now the Your Immunity Project, because we have to cover all of the bases: prevention, diagnosis, and treatment. And we have to do our own research so we can educate ourselves as to what is right and what is wrong. So that's what we're trying to do as fast as we can, because it's wartime. It's an emergency. And that's really our appeal to leadership.
Is there any other colleges helping you?
To help us to get this thing moving at the rate that it needs to move at a time of emergency.
Is there any colleges helping you or any other organizations? Because I know the NAACP, Dan, and every other Negro organization is asking you to please take the vaccination. I've heard no one, basically, in misleadership, as Elliot calls it, say don't take the vaccination. The only person that I've heard, you know, out publicly that said don't take the vaccination is the minister, and you know they always trying to put what he say down. But is there any groups, anybody in the know that's trying to assist y'all in being able to do the things that you're trying to do? Because that's important.
Well, yes. I mean, in other words, we are not a monolithic people. We're not a monolith. So I mentioned some of the historically black colleges and universities, especially Tuskegee. We have scientific experts working with us from those institutions all over the country. You see, and then in the same institution, you see, you have people on the other side. You see, it's not all one or the other. And even within, say, like I mentioned, with the National Medical Association, yes, they're being groomed to try to promote vaccines. They were on a Zoom call with Minister Farrakhan trying to promote vaccines to the Nation of Islam. Okay, but now they have an alternative that they don't have to do that. They can actually join the Your Immunity Project, and if they believe in the other side, fine. Okay, then you represent that side. And now here's the other side. And then we put that together, do a comparative study, and we find out which way we should go. So that's why we're saying to people, to the grassroots that are listening to this broadcast, before I got to get off and tuck my mom into bed, that's why the appeal has to come from the grassroots. So you're right, brother. I mean, where's the bishop of your church, or where's the Pope, or where, you know, I mean, who's in charge of your sorority or your fraternity or your mosque or your civic association? Where's the leadership there? You see, your political action group. See, so the leadership has a responsibility to say, hey, wait a minute. It's my people in my church that are being preyed upon. Their lives are hanging in the balance. So what am I going to do as the pastor of the church? You see, and so we have to make an appeal to the leadership. Give them this information. Point them in the direction of the Your Immunity Project. Point them to the Facebook page. Educate them so they actually understand what's going on. Then when they exert their leadership, it will be in the right direction, and they won't be misled by, you know, the intrigues of the enemy. So, hey, brother,
thank you for your call.
Elliot,
oh, yes, I understand.
Brother Richard, I really have to get off this call. It has been a blast. I have enjoyed myself. You have excellent callers, excellent questions, you know, excellent focus on what is really important. And so I really have enjoyed myself, and I hope that I said something that means something to people, that it will actually get them up and moving in the direction of survival and away from all the chaos and the confusion. You know, that is really a deliberate part. I think they call it the fog of war. To get people so confused and so frightened that then we can stampede them in the direction of their own destruction. And so hopefully on this platform that you provided, now people can see a light in another direction. And if they gravitate towards that light, they'll find more and more information and more things that they can do that will guarantee their right to life, to their right to survival. So thank you very much, and I got to go. May Allah bless and keep all of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Dr. Aleem, I'm going to be in touch with you because I want you to put some of that information on the Time for Awakening website, how people can reach you and how they can join the My Immunity Project.
Okay. We'll do.
We'll talk. We'll talk soon. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Peace.
Peace.
Richard, very interesting conversation. You know what? We got one caller that didn't get a chance to talk to Dr. Lean. Let's take that call before we wind it down. Let's go to 773-773.
You got me, brother?
You're here.
Man, you're always making me laugh. I'm going to have to punish you.
Well, I had to get... Go ahead.
All right, Jay, man, it's good to hear from y'all. I heard the show last week. It was a great show, and I just wasn't able to call those young brothers. The great Marcus Garvey said, independence and self-determination is based on land. That's why he had a Back to Africa movement. This is not our land. It will never be our land. So we dance to the psychopath tune. Shake your booty. Have y'all looked in the sky and ever saw them planes spraying the sky? Have any of you all ever saw that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the computer said it's chemtrails, but the great white father never admit to what they are spraying and why they are spraying. It's usually three or four jets. They run crisscross patterns in the sky. When they finish, the sky looks like a checkerboard. I took a trip from Chicago with a cousin to Birmingham, Alabama, from Chicago. Them planes sprayed from Illinois to Alabama, and when we stopped in Birmingham, they kept going. What are they spraying? Why are they spraying? Now remember, the computer say it's chemtrails, but they just guess it. Billy Bob never admit to what he's spraying and why he is spraying the sky. Now, the Chinese, they are sellouts. Ever since Mao Zedong died, they trying to ride with the great white father. So you can't look for no help from the Chinese. Now, the great white father ignore interferon that the Cubans have, even though it's been tested and been proven. He ignored that. He go his own way. Why? Why do he do that? Why he didn't try interferon? Why he ain't give it a chance? Why he ignore it? That's something for people to ask. Now, we cannot stop the Ku Klux Klansmen from assassinating us on camera. Listen, people. We cannot stop the Ku Klux Klansmen from assassinating us on camera. But they are so concerned with protecting us from some virus. What sense do that make? Why don't you protect us from the stuff right at hand that you can stop? Why you ain't doing that? Why you want to protect us from a virus, though? So stop these Ku Klux Klansmen from assassinating us on camera that is escalating every day. But you want us concentrating on some virus. I don't buy nothing these psychopaths say. I ain't going to take no shot until a camel pass through the eye or a needle. The people we are dealing with, I'm going to close. I know you want me to close. The people we are dealing with, they are psychopaths. Many of our people don't understand that. They hear it, but they really do not comprehend. The people we are dealing with, they are sick psychopaths. They have said that the earth and space belongs to them, and that anybody don't look like them, they need to be destroyed. And that's what they work on every day. That is their objective. I suggest to people, if they can escape somewhere and live your life out, do that. You're not going to escape the psychopath. He runs Earth and he runs space. But you might be able to go somewhere and live your life out. Like many Negroes that ran to Africa, Cuba, the islands. They run it. But they not running from the psychopath. They running out. But you might able to go and live your life out. You might stop Zimmerman and Daryl Wilson, them sick psychopaths. You might stop them from getting your granddaughter, your grandson. That's all we can do today. And that's what I suggest to people. And I know people don't want to hear it, and that's fine. I grew up down in Birmingham, Alabama. I ran down to 16th Street Baptist Church when they bombed it. I lived in a place called Dynamite Hill. Do I need to tell y'all why they call it Dynamite Hill? It's the 60s. These people doing the same thing to us today. Think about your life. Think about if you can save your life. Think about if you can save some grandchild life. Some young child life. That's what you got to think about today. This is this psychopath wheelhouse. He run it. And I respect people who think they're going to change this sick psychopath house. I understand, y'all. I ain't mad at you. I get it. But this has never happened. They put Donald Hitler in. They'll make me the president if they won't. They'll make you a Richard the president. They run it. Stop pretending they don't run it. And think about escaping out of here, people, if you can. Now the psychopaths are tearing it down. Now it's even hard to fly out of him or to go anywhere. He done made it. Now it's going to be difficult to even get out. So if you're thinking about getting out, you better move yesterday. He's making it tough for you. And look, they put Donald Hitler in. They put Clinton in. They put Bush in. They put Barack Obama in. They put them all in. They'll make me the president if they won't. They put them all in. This mess ain't nothing but a setup. If they wanted Donald Hitler to be president again, he would be president. It's a smart audience. Most of y'all know that already. If these psychopaths wanted Donald Hitler to be back in, he would be president.
30 seconds.
They put anybody in they want. Okay, brother. Thank you. I ain't going to hold you no longer.
Talk to you later.
Appreciate you.
All right. Richard, we come to the end of another program, man. You know that. Well, I guess we'll talk about it next week or in future programs. But I just want to say this: you heard Dr. Aleem talked about the need to organize and to force some of this leadership to make a decision to help the community, or else. You heard it, Richard.
Right.
A lot of these conversations kind of go back to the same thing. But we'll talk about it. Yeah, I mean, because we've been talking about it constantly. But, you know, it's kind of, it's not odd or I wouldn't say refreshing. I don't know the word to use when you hear other people that are involved in different fields of study that keep letting us know that we're going to have to make these people do something or get them out of the way.
Yep, that's it.
One way or the other, we just can't let them just sit there and do what they're doing. You can't. Because they're doing damage to our people.
Or on the other side of that, we can't just stand there and watch them do what they're doing.
Doing, exactly. We'll be like when I played that collage with Cynthia McKinney. We can't be just standing there, dozens of people just standing there watching. It's too many organizations. There's too many people out there doing something positive that you can join in with. You just heard Dr. Lee talking about getting involved in my immunity project. Even if somebody get involved for the clinical trials, that's getting involved. You know what I mean, Richard?
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, the solution is there. Or action that one can take is there.
Exactly. Before we leave tonight, let me give you the lineup on time for An Awakening Media. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. African Perspectives with Brother Oshie, always interesting dialogue, guests, and conversations on African Perspectives. That's with host Brother Oshie, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. From 6 to 8 later on Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And later on Monday evening from 8 to 10 p.m., 8 to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with host Dr. Maria Kamban and Sister Nataki Kamban. She hasn't been on for maybe a couple of weeks, but maybe she'll be on tomorrow. Oh, in fact, there's no program tomorrow. The live programming start up on January 4th, if I'm not mistaken. So you'll hear a tape of one of their best of shows probably tomorrow. On Tuesday, 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Friday, Time for An Awakening is back from 8 until on Saturdays from 4 to 6, Black Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And later on Saturday evenings, The Elders of Sankofa, that's from 7 to 9, with host Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday, Time for An Awakening is back from 7 until. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, seem to be so unaware of. I know the things that they'll soon have to take care of.
To save the children.